Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Lee Cole is a renowned South African singer, songwriter, and producer. Lee achieved breakthrough success with hit singles such as I Don't Wanna Wait, Pink Dragons, Honey, Let Me In, No Fear, No Tears, and With or Without You. His performance at the SAFTAs, participation in prominent festivals, multiple chart toppers, and the prestigious opportunity of opening for international superstar Callum Scott and Ronan Keating have solidified his standing as a prominent figure in the South African music scene. Lee's latest release in 2024, called Blind, is topping the charts all over the country. Up next on Celeb Savant, live in studio at the Solid Gold Studios in Randburg, Johannesburg, South Africa, is Lee Cole.
Lee Cole, how are you doing today and what's happening in your life?
I'm great, thank you, man. Thanks for having me. Not much is happening in my life except for this crazy weather that we're having.
It's hot, yeah.
This is going to last, hopefully, the whole interview. Just sip slowly. But I'm good, man. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure. Okay, now let's rewind all the way to the beginning. At what age did you think, cool, I want to be in the music or entertainment world? And how did that journey progress to where we are today?
It's been quite a crazy journey, simply because it's taken so long. But that's usually, you know, this kind of career. So I started singing at the age of 10, and I started writing songs just shortly after that. I think I was about 12 or 13. And I would say when I was about 14, when I started actually writing my own music, it then kind of struck me that maybe this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. And the magic's grabbed a hold of me ever since, and here we are today. So
how long? You mentioned it took a long time. So how long?
So I'm 28 now, yeah. So it's been about 18, 19 years of singing, writing songs, and pursuing the dream, you know?
And during that period of time when it was sort of not there, how did you keep yourself motivated and say, okay, just keep going? Or did you ever feel like, oh, I can't do this anymore?
It's a great question. Many artists, I think, go through this, experience this in their life, you know? But for me, I don't know. It's like when people ask me this question, I just say there's like an innate fire or a desire that I could even describe it as a bit subconscious in a way that just keeps pushing me forward. And I don't know. I mean, of course, every artist kind of experienced those moments where they wanted to call it a day, you know? And I have too. I mean, don't get me wrong. But I just think there's, if it's something you want badly enough, there's a, like I said, an innate desire, a fire to keep pushing no matter what. And it's still in me to this day. So until that fire one day, you know, sizzles out, we'll call it a day. But for now, it's been pretty cool. Yeah.
And how long ago did things start happening? How many, was it a year, 2 years, 3 years?
Yeah, it's been, I've been singing since I was 10. So I would say probably around 2005, 2006, roughly. Mm-hmm. Started writing 2009, 2010. And I think things only really started to take off in 2020, just before lockdown. So I'd released music prior that just kind of never took off.
Yeah.
And then when I released I Don't Wanna Wait in February 2020, just before COVID, then all of a sudden the gates blew open. And then boom, now I'm playing on radio. All of a sudden people know who Lee Cole is. And it's a bit of a surreal moment, but it kind of, it's when that penny drops, like, aha, finally I got there. You know, the door finally opened, you know.
When you first heard yourself on radio, what was it feeling?
It was crazy. I remember dancing with my parents in the lounge. It was like, I think we, because I mean, obviously you listen to the radio as a kid growing up the whole time. Yeah. You always dream it's one day be you. And I was with my parents and we were listening to 947 and all of a sudden I'm on the chart and all these things. And oh my goodness, you know, it's like euphoric in a way. And I just think it was like a full circle moment for me and my family because they've supported me this entire time.
Yeah.
And we're all just like, you know, in the lounge listening to the radio presenter, who I think was really at the time, announced my song on the chart and it was playing and stuff. And it was just a complete full circle moment, which is crazy. So, yeah.
How does it work from going of sort of being unknown and pursuing to now being seen and heard and well known?
Yes.
Because a lot of people don't understand that who are not in the industry. So when that happens and people come up to you and they think they're your friends, and they, because they see you on social media, they hear you on the radio, so they think they know you.
Yes.
How do you deal with that?
It's a good question, because I think a lot of the time there's Lee Cole and then there's who I really am, which is Leandro, by the way, for those watching. That's my real name. And I think with time, because I've been in the industry for so long, you kind of get really good at separating the two. And it's not necessarily being fake. It's just you are maybe not as open or a bit more reserved in terms of where you're in your private life. But when I'm with fans, I mean, they don't know me. And in reality, I don't know them.
Yes.
You know, we just know each other through the connection that's music. So, yeah, I would say it's just a matter of it's practice. But at the same time, you don't want to come across as fake or false, but you can't let anybody in, because ultimately you guys are strangers, you know? So it's a bit of a weird situation that you find yourself in. But I think with time, you learn to better that.
And do you ever have situations of people who want to come in who potentially are only coming in both comments, because it's a Lee Cole?
Oh, for sure. Oh, for sure.
So how do you recognize the people that are doing that compared to the people who are authentic?
So the one thing that I really think I'm really good at is judging people. And I think I know people off the cuff, off the bat, in terms of their intentions. And I mean, sure, you get it wrong sometimes. But like, for example, since I've, you know, Lee Cole, the brand, has kind of, you know, come out into the open, there's been people from high school that I'd never spoken to a day in my life that I'm now telling people, oh, we're best friends in high school and all this and all that. And so you get all this. And then you get people that my gut tells me that as soon as I meet them, I already know this guy's a shark or this lady's a shark or whatever. And I can kind of feel that maybe they've got ulterior motives. So, I mean, I'm never rude. I don't believe in doing that and being rude. I always believe in being kind to people. But I then know to kind of keep them at an arm's length, you know.
Yeah.
And it's for your safety anyway.
Yeah, because people are whacked, aren't they?
People are crazy, man. I'm sure you've experienced some of your own.
What are your perceptions on social media?
I hate social media.
Okay.
With every inch of my being. But I also know that it's a necessary evil, especially in our careers. We need it. We can't kind of get away from the fact that it's the best way and sometimes the only way to connect with people or an audience on a large scale, you know. But I hate it for the reasons that you kind of always compare yourself to people. I mean, I'm not the first person saying this. You know, you're always on it. It's always draining your attention. And you kind of always feel pressured to show the best of your life on social media. Because no one wants to see you eat crackers at 1 o'clock in the morning, you know. They want to see you in Cape Town on the mountain eating that lobster, you know.
Yeah.
So, and that is kind of that contrast that social media creates. It's that inherent pressure almost in a way, constantly seek validation that I don't like.
So when you say comparing, do you mean comparing to other people's lives that they're putting out there?
And
now they're on the yacht in Italy.
100%. 100%. Yeah, yeah. And even for an artist or for a soccer player, for a businessman, I mean, you're not the only artist on social media. You're not the only soccer player on social media. You're not the only accountant, you know.
Then
when you kind of, it kind of compares to people in your field, and they might be slightly more ahead than you, and then it's just creates unnecessary... You know,
and how many views did they get to this?
Yes, and then you start worrying about silly stuff like that. You're like, Jesus, man, like, let it go, cuz, you know, like, let's relax.
So for me, it's I have my social media in order to have the Sleps Fund social media page.
Yes,
but pre to Sleps Fund, I was never on social media. I hate it.
Okay.
So if you look at my Barrett Eagleston profile, there's no picture, there's no post, there's nothing.
Okay.
So when I do Sleps Fund, I'm only doing events, podcasts. I don't take pictures of whatever
your salad or whatever. Yeah, 100%.
Like, it's just literally I suppose for me, I'm lucky because my brand sort of separates me from
it distinguishes the two.
Lee Cole is Lee Cole, so
100%. Because it's my face, it's not like I'm part of a band or anything. It's me. You know, but how would you find in terms of like your social media? Are you more private? Do you actually prefer a more private personal page or not at all? Is that what you said? Do you actually got a personal page?
No, so I don't.
Oh, you don't?
So
nothing at all?
I have my personal page, but there's nothing there.
Oh, okay.
I don't post anything.
Okay, okay.
So I literally, when I've got my Celebs Vant, and I only post podcasts.
So the one you're actually only active on is your Celebs
Vant. Exactly.
Okay. Good on you, man. Good for you. I wish I was in your shoes. I really wish I was in your shoes.
I love this discussion and debate and conversation. I love me a CD. I still budget for my CDs.
Okay.
I love the aesthetic of holding something. Okay. I love the booklet, turning the pages. For me, it's an energy exchange. Say thank you to you guys for all the hard work you do. I'm not sure if you're aware, CDs, vinyls, cassettes are making massive comebacks.
Massive comebacks, yes.
But then we've also got these digital stream platforms that people consume music on.
Yeah.
What are your observations and perceptions of each?
So I think there's merit to having both, if I can be honest. I'm also a big fan of the physical... You know, it's just tangible. It's like it's almost like the artist's personal gift to you.
Yeah.
You feel that way in any sense. I do see the appeal of Spotify and Apple Music and the like, because it kind of gives you a way to access music in any shape or form, wherever, right? Mm. But I personally still believe records, CDs, there's still the magic there, man. It's just something about it, you know? I don't know, for me, yeah.
But I mean, actually, so I didn't have a CD player for a while, and I got one for my birthday near the end of last year.
Okay.
And everyone was like, oh, you're going to find a CD player from there. And I went to Takealot, and there were so many options.
Yeah, yeah.
So my point I'm trying to make is that when I listen to a CD, the sound quality on the exact same player compared to when...
It's a different quality.
Like in a stadium compared to listening to digital.
But that is true, though. The digital versions are very compressed, and it's algorithms that shape the music to obviously fit. Yeah, where CD and records, it's as high quality you can possibly purchase. And here, that it's almost like hearing that record the way it was intended when it was made, you know, in the highest quality possible. So,
now, moving on to performing live. I'm gratefully have seen you performed at Park Live, opening for Callum Scott, opening for Ronan Keating, and a whole bunch of others. First question, what do you enjoy about performing live? And what is the difference for you being at a festival, opening for another artist, and then having your own show?
Sure, great questions. Okay, so let's answer the first one. The first one is, what I love most about performing live. For me, because of the style of music that I do, and because of my vocal sound and my vocal tone, the reason why I love performing live is because I feel like to experience who Lee Cole is, live is the best way to do that. As much as I love making music and writing music and releasing records and stuff like that, when I'm live, I feel like you get me in the most natural way, in the most organic way. You hear my voice in real time, in live. And I personally believe my voice is better live. So that is the one aspect I love about live performing, together with the running around on stage, doing splits, jumping, you know, all that.
I didn't see the splits.
It's coming.
Okay.
It's on the updated show.
I'm kidding.
So just, you know, getting to move and also feeling the crowd's energy.
Yeah.
It's something that you can't do, obviously, over record. When you perform for somebody or open up for somebody and you do your own show, the dynamics are very different, because obviously when you're opening up for someone, it's not about you, you know. But at the same time, you get to leverage the crowd that another artist has kind of brought forward. And you kind of get to suss out, analyze the energy in a way that's pretty cool, you know. But when you do your own shows, it's different, because you know they came to see you. So your attitude is different. It's a different energy. I can't explain it. Yeah.
And festivals?
Festivals are cool as well. So festivals is like a little hybrid between the two, because you're obviously not your show, but you're not opening up for anybody.
Yeah.
It's just you're on a time slot and you do it. I really like festivals. I feel like when people are not drinking too much and it's at a nice level, there's a really cool energy and like it's a vibe, man. It's a vibe, yeah.
I've got a point of discussion around this. So I'm that person who's always up in front, as you've seen. and so I'll take my phone out to film a couple of videos, a couple of photos, and then I put my phone away because I like to be in the moment.
I agree with you, man.
And I see a whole batch of people around me have their phones out for 70-80% of the time, posting, tweeting, video, photoing, whatever. From the person on the perception of the stage, potentially seeing 70-80% of the audience with their phones out, do you feel that it breaks the energy and connection and interaction, or it's just where society is?
I don't think it breaks the connection, but it's where society is, for sure. And from like a performance standpoint, like when I'm on stage and I see a couple of people in the audience and I see them with phones, I don't think, put your phones away, just enjoy the moment. I actually think, okay, they are liking this moment so much that they're willing to take out their phone to record me in that moment so they could tell other people about it. Almost like a different shape or form of word of mouth, if that makes sense. So that's where I see it. But I completely understand where you're coming from, because when I personally attend, not as Lee Cole as Leander, when I go to concerts and I see other artists perform, I don't like filming. I like recording in HD with my eyes, you know? Yeah, I think it depends on the artist. For me, it doesn't bother me that much. And to be honest, at a lot of my shows, not many people film too much, which is cool.
Your latest single, Blind, and you've had a number of other songs, releases, and hits, is going to be accumulated to a body of work of an album?
Yes. Yes. So I actually haven't released music in quite some time. And the reason for that is because I've really wanted to take my time in crafting the next narrative. Like, what is Lee Cole about? What is he going to sing about? And that sometimes takes time. But it's nerve-wracking because people don't hear from you, you know, out of sight, out of mind, you know. But that's primarily what I've been focusing on now, is just really getting a body of work that is, in its quality, undeniable. Like, whether you like Lee Cole or not, whether it's your cup of tea or not, you can say, Japers, that's a great album or great piece of music. And that's kind of what I'm going for. And Blind is part of this next chapter that I'm trying to really just write about human experience. I believe, you know, love is not the only thing that we experience as humans. There's a lot of things. There's anxiety, there's pressure from work, there's death, there's friendship. There's a whole variety of things that we experience in the daily. And I want this album to really encapsulate that. And I think Blind spearheads the trajectory of the album. Blind is about vulnerability, and it's about opening up and talking about social media and all that. We live in a day and age where no one wants to open up, you know. After the first date, if he hasn't shown you his toes, you're like, oh, geez, I'm out. You know what I'm trying to say? It's those kind of things that we're dealing with in today's society. So I really wanted to write a song about that highlights that and showcases that. So that's what Blind's about, and I really hope the rest of the album connects to people in the same way.
Okay, so from 0 to 3 to 4 minutes, when you're creating a song, you've already mentioned it's about what the world's going through, anxiety, love, et cetera, et cetera. But when you're sitting down to do that, is it easy every time? Do you do it by yourself or collaborate with others? Let's unpack Lee Cole's creative brain.
Okay. So people, like you're saying, you ask me all the time, like how do you write music? So I've primarily written music alone my whole life, but this album was the first album that I think I was open to collaborating with other artists, just to get their perspectives. Sometimes you don't always have to use a different perspective, but it could sometimes nudge you on to something, a new chapter that you've never explored in your own head, you know. So what I like to do is I like to start with the melody, and then I write lyrically, because for me the melody is king. For me it needs to attack your subconscious. If it's not attacking your subconscious, then consciously you're not going to be aware of the lyrics, you know. So that is my process fundamentally. And to be honest, this album has been a couple of collaborators on the album. Blind is one of them. My brother actually helped me write the song. We just sat together. And that's, yeah, I can't. The creative process can be different for a lot of people. It can be very hard to describe sometimes. But for me, it's melody, lyrics, and then I sing. And if I sing on it and it's not making me move, then I get scrapped. That's just the way it works.
So how many songs do get scrapped?
Plenty.
Really?
Plenty.
But how do you know it doesn't move other people? If it's not move, it might not move you, but it might move other people.
True. So I'll know if I like it or not.
Okay.
Even if I'm like on the fence, but I play for a couple of people and other people like. So that's one thing I don't want to wait toward me, is that when you have something special, you will know, because the feedback and is unanimous across the board. Everyone takes off their headphones. I've got a select few people that I play stuff for that I trust their opinion. And they take off their headphones and they're like, or they take it off and they're like, could be better, could be better. Not your strongest. And then I know, you know, then I know. And there's even sometimes where I play for like 10 people and 5 will be like, this is amazing. And the other 5 will be like, I prefer this song. So I already know there's a really discrepancy in the data. I'm big on data in that way. And that's pretty much how I've gone about my whole career in terms of judging which song to release next year.
Your brother plays drums when you tour.
100%. He's my drummer. Right.
Exactly. I'm not sure if you're aware of NLP, neuro-linguistic programming.
Yes.
So this is the way people process information. People are dominant in one, secondary in another, tertiary in another.
Okay.
So dominance means they'll be in that type for about 10 hours of the day. Secondary means they'll be like 2 hours of like being conscious and awake, and tertiary will be half an hour, if at all.
Crazy. Okay. That's interesting. Okay.
So we've got the three interpretations. Visual is visual, so creating pictures out of information. Audio is hearing the words, understanding the words, bring the sentence, etc.
Okay.
Kinesthetic is about energy, body language, tone of voice, all that kind of stuff. Now, focusing or discussing music specifically, because you'll, if you secondary, you might go into something
yes,
else.
Yes.
When you listen to music, whether it's your own or about others, do you create a picture of what you're hearing? Do you hear the words, or is it about the energy and feeling?
Oh, man. You come with the saucy questions today. That's a good one. That's a good one. Okay, so you're asking, neurolinguistically, when I hear a song or a piece of art, whatever, am I picturing an image in my head?
Yes.
Am I feeling a sensation, or am I feeling something about the song? Or am I listening to the words and definitely the feeling?
Feeling.
All day, every day.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And now when you listen to music by other artists, are you able to relax and listen, or is your creative technical brain unpacking what they've created?
Technical creative brain is unpacking completely.
All the time?
All the time. I can't switch it off. That's why for me, when I go to a concert and stuff, it becomes hard for me to enjoy, because I do this.
Yes.
So I'm always analyzing, okay, it's cool, he did that on stage, or that song's got that kind of line.
Yeah.
So it's difficult to kind of, you know, just
take yourself.
Go. Yes, yes, yes.
So there should be a third Lee now.
There should be a third Lee. Yeah. When I get home, I'm going to start molding him, you know, call him Jeff, and just slowly, you know, that's what I'm going to do.
Absolutely. Okay. So what, you mentioned the album, what are the short term and the long term plans moving forward?
So short term, in the next two years, we're definitely going to release the album. And we're not going to release everything all at once. I really want to create like a series, not necessarily a movie, but a series. Mm. Okay. So take the album, the script, and instead of unpacking it in a movie, we're unpacking it in a series. Mm. So Blind will be the first song. And then I want to kind of release every song on this album every 3 months leading up to the eventual final song that I'll release commercially, which will kind of be released together with the other songs that I wouldn't necessarily have released to radio or whatever, you know, like album fillers.
Yeah.
So that's my plan. Single, three singles this year. At the third single this year, I'll release the other three. So it'll be six. So it'll be part one. And then next year will be part two. So it'll be three and then three.
Okay.
So all in all, over the next 2 years, it'll be 12 songs, part of this album. And it'll be called Nice Like These. That's the name of the album. So.
And so how many songs are going to be the album?
12.
12. Okay, okay.
So six this year.
Yes.
Six next year.
So you're releasing all of them as singles?
Pretty much. And then at the end of it, they'll be together available on Spotify as in the album.
Okay.
Yes.
And maybe some physical.
Maybe some physical. I'll hop on the CDs for you. I will.
Okay, now I love this question. I know if I had to ask you this question in 2 minutes, 2 hours, 20 years, 5 minutes, I know your answer will be different every time because there are millions of them. I understand that and recognize that. I'm not saying favorite.
Okay.
I'm saying if you had to push play to five songs by other artists once we finish this conversation,
yes,
what would those five songs be and by whom?
Oh, man. Okay, so right now, Gravity by John Mayer.
Okay.
Okay, Gravity by John Mayer. Time by Hans Zimmer. Otro Atardecer is a Spanish song by Bad Bunny and The Marías, which I absolutely love.
Two more.
Billie Jean, Michael Jackson.
Billie Jean?
Michael Jackson.
Okay.
Man, is a good question. Maroon 5, This Love.
Okay, nice mix. Most of them on my list, I have to add a couple.
Okay.
So, the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message, what would you like to say?
What would I like to say? New music's coming out. I'm super excited. It's going to be great. And big things are coming. There's a lot actually coming that I haven't actually mentioned, but I'm just excited, man. I'm excited to do music and walk this journey with people. And, I can't wait to see how the new stuff resonates with people. That's all I have to say. So stream, download, know what to do. And I'll see you on the next episode. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.